out there, and welcome to Work with Miles Okazaki. In this podcast, I'll be sharing some of the things that I've learned over the last few decades as a guitar player, as a composer, as a band leader and a sideman, as a researcher and student of music, and sharing strategies for practicing, improving your craft, and being a creative person in the modern world. These podcast episodes are audio versions of videos that I've been making over on Patreon for some time. So if you like what you hear, come on over to Patreon, Work with Miles Okazaki, and for the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can join into the community there, ask questions, get responses, make requests for new types of episodes, download special materials that I've posted, such as free books that I've written, exercises, computer programs that I've built, all kinds of things like that. And also, there are episodes that are primarily visual that are only posted there, such as specific technical studies on the guitar that require you to see what I'm doing, and things like sight reading. So, that being said, please enjoy, and best of luck on your musical journey. First thing I will do is apologize for the gap between the last video and this one. I've been moving. Last couple weeks I've just been carrying boxes and furniture and stuff like that, so we'll see how my chops are today. But now that I got my temporary studio set up here, the first thing I wanted to do was to make a new video. And I wanted to make up a little bit for the lack of videos in the last couple weeks by doing a longer one that answers and addresses some questions that people have been asking, which have to do with ideas for improvisation. So this video is actually going to be more like a lesson than about how to play a monk tune, but we will do it in the context of a monk tune. That tune being Bimsha Swing. The reason I'm choosing Bimsha Swing is because it's a very simple tune that's made up of just a turnarounds, kind of turnarounds in the key of C and turnarounds in the key of F. And the concept will be playing turnarounds or playing little chord progressions that loop back onto themselves and stuff like that. And I wanted to talk about different kinds of substitutions and different kind of pathways that I use to start in a key and do a turnaround and get back to that key again, or to get somewhere else and all that stuff. There are many avenues to take on this concept, and I'll see, we'll just start and see where we go with this. The tune is this. That's the melody on the A section. That's it. Starts on 4, 1, 2, and then in the fourth, it goes up a fourth for the B section. 1, 2, 3. To the original 1, 2, 3, 4. That's it. So you can memorize this melody pretty quickly. One, two, three, boom. For you, skip ahead. Now, the chords. The chords are, there's like a variety of things. They're basically kind of like 1-6-2-5s all the time. 1-6-2-5, da, 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 da. That's a 1-6-2-5 in the key of C. C, A, D, G, C, A, D, G, right? And a strict 1-6-2-5, like diatonically, would be like a C major to a A minor to a D minor to a G7. Now, we know like in a lot of jazz and blues contexts and stuff, we can make those all dominants, like, becomes a dominant chain. You know, you hear that all the time in all kinds of things, like the bridge to a rhythm changes. Say this is the second A. The bridge is D7 to C7 to F7 back to B flat. And this is a turnaround, you know, to the four chord. So dominant chains can go forever, just around the circle of fifths. C, F, B flat, E flat, A flat, D flat, G flat, B, E, A, D, G, and so on. But in a 1-6-2-5, they just go a little bit around the circle of fifths, you know. So in this song, we're going to be using dominant chords, not so much minor seventh chords and all that stuff. The concept will be how to play on dominant chains. So we're going to go. Now you can play. Right now I'm playing just C major 7, A7, D7, G7. Now that's not really what's played. Now for the reference, I'm going to use the Sickler Cardinus book again, which is a great resource. And I'm just going to use that as a sort of starting place. You can listen to different recordings and see what the different substitutions are that are actually being used. But this one is pretty good. We'll use that as like the reference. And that is going from C to A7. Boom. It's kind of like a sharp 9 on that chord. You can put the sharp 9 if you feel like it. Let's go into A-flat 7 instead of D7. And why is that allowed? Well, that's what we call a flat 5 substitution, tritone substitution. Using A-flat 7 instead of a D7. They have the same tritone. D7 has D is the root, and the third and the seventh is F sharp and C. And then A flat 7, the third is a C, and then the seventh is a G flat. Same notes. D7, A flat 7. They're both the same, using the same kind of tension in them, which resolves the same way. And I'll get more into that like in a minute and what's available besides the tritone substitutions. But in any case, we'll say that for any dominant chord, you could also use the one that's a tritone away, and it will kind of lead you to the same place. Like normally D7 would go to G7. In this case, we got A flat 7, can also go to G7, but it can also go to D flat 7. A flat 7 to D flat 7, and D flat 7 can go back to C. So I'll go over that a little more slowly. So if a regular 1-6-2-5 is C, A, D, G, I'm going C, A, and these are all, except for the C, these are all dominant chords. So C major, A7, D7, G7, I'd go C major, A7, A-flat 7, D-flat 7. Now, some of the notes in the melody become like kind of tensions on the chord. That's a sharp 9. So you're playing actually the major 7th on the dominant chord, but we're not going to worry about that because we're going to do even more far out things like that. And Monk plays that kind of thing all the time. When you get to the D-flat 7, you're playing the sharp 11 in the melody. And you can see how that note actually has more color than playing on a G7. Because on the G7, the G is just a root. It's not that interesting. Or so that's the first turnaround. We got C, A7, A-flat 7, D-flat 7, and back to C. Instead of going to A7 here, I'm going to E-flat 7. Again, a tritone substitution off of A7. So instead of going to A7, I'm using a different chord. This is, you know, it gives it some variety, right? Because the first time you went to A7, the next time you went to E-flat 7. And now I'm going to go to D7, which is the normal kind of or 5 of 5, I should say. And then to D-flat 7, right? This is a different kind of chord progression. The first A is just C, A, A flat, D flat, C, E flat, D, D flat. In both cases, it goes from D flat at the end to back to C. Okay, never really uses the G7 in this instance. But the second part of the second A section has a different destination. We're not trying to get back to C. We're trying to get to F. To go to the B section. So it does this cool little walk down thing. So say this is the first A. Right here. So what did I do? I went down a whole steps. Okay. You know that G-flat 7 can go to F major, right? Because G-flat 7 is just a tritone substitution of C7. C7 is the dominant of F. So if we can get to G-flat 7, we can get to F. How do you get to G-flat 7? Well, we could walk down on whole steps. This is just kind of a pattern. B-flat 7 or with ninth, with the melodies in the ninth. And then A-flat 7. Now the melody is the third. And then to G-flat 7 with a sharp 11. I'm keeping the C in the top of all those. Just simple chord voicings. I'm not playing anything fancy. So the first two A sections. Okay. So that's how you get from A, and then the A is kind of like a second ending because it goes a different way. It goes to F. Boom, boom. Now the F is just an exact transposition. The B section is just an exact transposition of an A section. So you did in C, you went. That's 1-6-2-5. The 1-6-2-5 in F is. Or. F, D, G, C. Right? But the one of the substitutions, the way we're doing it. So, in this, if you transpose that just up a fourth from when we were in C, we went C, A7. La, da, 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 da. A flat 7 to D flat 7, back to C. So when we're in F, that means to D7. No, da, 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 da. A little out of my range to sing. I'll sing it low. So the first one being F to D7, D flat 7, G flat 7. Now, if I were to transpose the second A exactly the same, we would just end up going back to F. Like, we could do this like this. D flat, G flat, A flat, G, G flat, and we would just stay in F forever. But that's not what we want to do. We want to get back to C again, because we only have one time in F. So the first F is going to be F, D, D flat, G flat, F, A flat. Now, G, now if we were going to do it as we did in the A section, we would go to G flat, but we don't want to go to G flat. We want to go to something that goes to C. So it just does, it just switches from G7 to D flat 7, which is basically the same chord. It kind of stays in the same chord for four beats. So D, D flat, G flat, F, A flat, G, D flat. See in the last A section. Okay, and then the last time it doesn't do a turnaround, it just goes to the D flat major 7. So A flat to D flat 7, to C major 7 to D flat major 7. That's the whole tune. So play along with me. Boom, boom, da, 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 D flat, D, D flat, boom, 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 da, da, da. Now we're gonna walk it down C, boom, B flat, A flat, G flat, to F, boom, down to D, D flat, G flat, F, A flat, G, and D flat. Back to C, C, A flat, D flat, to D flat major 7, because it has a C in the melody. I'll sing it now. Boom. Play those chords exactly. You can think about those chords exactly and like do something like, I'll just kind of do sort of arpeggios of those chords to outline them. 2, 3. Thank you. on. So that's a good kind of warm up. Now, what was I talking about when I was talking about substitutions and pathways? Okay, well, let's kind of isolate the first A section of this song. So let's just say, or even just the first four bars. So what are the different options you have just using the tritone substitutions? Well, you start on C every time. This is kind of an exercise version of this. Okay, so now we're not really playing the whole tune. We're just going to play this turnaround. Let's say that now this... The reason I'm doing this is because it's very useful for like all kinds of stuff, because millions of tunes have like 1-6-2-5s in them. So you could use this anywhere, you know. Now I'm just playing a straight 1-6-2-5. So you could go from C to A, right? And then from A, you could go to A flat, or you could go to D. And then from A flat, you could go to G, or you could go to D flat. And then from D, you could go to D flat, or you could go to G, right? So let's think about the different pathways you have. You have C to A. I wonder if we can count how many different ways. So there's C, A, D, G. Okay, that's the first way. Then you have C, A, D, D flat, because I'm using one substitution there. You know, that would be... Then you have both. That's all. That's everything that starts C A D. So then you can go C A flat to something else. So and then you can have two options there. So you can have C A flat D flat. That's the one that's in the tune. Okay. Then you have C A flat G. Now that's four different pathways, you might say. Four different pathways of getting through this turnaround. They all kind of work. You could play any of those things over any version of the chords, and it's always going to work, because it's always just going to be like those same chords with different kind of colorations to them. All right? What if we... does that cover everything? C, A, A flat. So we got C, A, D, and then we got C, A, A flat. Right. So now if we don't go to A, we go C, E flat, right? So C, E flat is a different version of the six, you know, or we call it the five of the five of the five. What do I mean by five of five of five? Well, usually if you're using dominant chords, like in traditional sort of like, I don't know, like that Roman numeral type of notation stuff, where it's like 1-4-5, 2-5-of-2, 5-of-5, whatever. Like you don't call the D7 in the key of C. D7 is not really a two chord because it's a dominant chord, and it's a dominant chord to G. But G is the five chord. So actually D is the five of the five. So we call it 5 of 5, right? And then A, being that it's an A7 and not an A minor, is actually the 5 of the 5 of 5. So 5 of 5 of 5. I don't know if anybody says that, but I'm saying it right now. So if I go C to E flat 7, that's another version of the 5 of 5 of 5, or we could call it the tertiary dominant. Like this is in C, the dominant is G7, secondary dominant is D7, and tertiary dominant, meaning the third dominant way back down the chain, is an A7, right? So maybe tertiary dominant or 5 of 5 of 5 of 5 of 5. I think tertiary is better. It's easier to say. So we'll call this a tertiary dominant, okay? And all that means is that three dominants in a chain, you know, three dominants to get to the home base. It's like a baseball diamond, right? First base, second base, third base, home plate. First base, second base, third base, back home, okay? The first version of the tertiary dominant we went to was the A7. The A7 could go to D7 or D7. So we explored C, A7, D7, D flat, C, A7, D7, G, and then C, A7, A-flat 7, D-flat, C, A7, A-flat 7, G. So those are the four different versions where you go to the A7 as your tertiary dominant. But you could also go to E-flat 7, and you have another set of pathways. I'm guessing it's going to be the same number. Let's see. C, E-flat 7, and you can go from there to, say, D7, G7, right? And you go C, E-flat 7, D7, D-flat 7. That one's in the tune. That's the second part of the A section. Then you could go C, E-flat 7, A-flat 7, D-flat 7, all right? And you can go C, E-flat 7, A-flat 7, G7. Okay, so there's actually eight versions of that basic turnaround. So that's actually a lot of choices for you. I'm gonna just play a little bit and I'll tell you what I'm thinking. Let's see if I can do this. I don't even know if this is gonna work, but C A7. I'll say what it is beforehand. Regular one. Go to C A7 D7 D flat 7. A little more color. Even just that one substitution gives it a lot of different color, you know. If I play these notes, I'm playing D, D sharp, F, I should say C flat, E flat, F, A flat, B flat, these kind of notes off a dominant sound. Sounds almost like an A flat minor, which is actually, that's a whole other subject. But right now I'm just sticking with these regular dominants. So, let's see, let's try another one. Let's try C, E flat, A flat, D flat. What I would recommend, I don't have it set up here right now, I just have the guitar and the amp, but some kind of looping pedal, you know, or looping thing, and you could just have it play bass, the bass notes, C, A, D, G, and try these eight different pathways against that bass line and see like what kind of colors it makes it sound like, and try to resolve it each time back to the C, you know. The next step is going to require a little bit of theory. So stay with me here, but this is really the key of it for me to get away from just using tritone substitutions. There are other substitutions. There is a whole other side of this thing because we're only using half of the available chords at this time when we use the tritone substitutions. And why is that? It is because the dominant, every dominant chord can also be thought of as a diminished chord. And what do I mean by that? Well, let's say that I'm in the key of C and I'm playing the dominant. I go to G7. Well, I'm sure you've all seen a G7 flat 9. And what is a G7 flat 9 if you take away the root? I know, it's a diminished chord. B, D, F, A flat, right? Like in figured bass when you see the 509. 509 being a dominant ninth chord without the root, O9. And that nine is a flat nine. So every dominant chord has a diminished sound kind of, you know, embedded in it, right? It has a diminished triad if you just start on the third, you know. If I play it, a G7, starting on the B, it's just a diminished triad. And if I go up to the flat nine, then I have the whole diminished. Now, and we know this sound, because you can take any diminished that's a half step below a chord and move up to that chord. I'm just taking a diminished and moving either to a major or minor chord, like C sharp diminished to D major, to E flat diminished, or D sharp diminished to E minor. We've heard songs like that. Imagination is funny. You know, there's that chord, or, you know, just a rhythm changes. You know, but you can really, it diminishes, it gives you the feeling of going into something, you know, from the, as the leading tone in the bottom. Right? So, and that could be going, here I'm playing C diminished to a D flat major, or C diminished to a D flat minor, or A diminished to a B flat minor, A diminished to B flat major, or A diminished to a G major. Now, how does that work? Well, this is the thing. Diminished chord is a totally symmetrical structure, right? All minor thirds. Right, so before I use the analogy of baseball diamond, this is more like a traffic circle. So a traffic circle is kind of like go off, let's say it's with four exits, and it can go off in any of these directions because a diminished chord is symmetrical. So if I'm thinking this B diminished, I'm playing a very common guitar voicing, B, F, A flat, D. If I'm thinking of the B as the leading tone, to C, right? It's symmetrical, so any of these notes could be a leading tone. You know, it doesn't matter which one. I could think of the, what's the next note up in this voicing? The F. I'm going from F to a G flat major. That's kind of a nice voicing. I'm just putting the B flat in the bottom, and I'm putting the ninth in there too. I'm playing B flat, G flat, A flat, D flat. In this case, it's not a B diminished anymore. Now it's a C flat diminished, right? And if I were to sing the root, oh, 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 oh. You can hear the chord moving there. I'll go back to the way I used to before. I'm using a B diminished going to C, or I can go to C minor, of course. Same chord to two different places. First to C and then to G flat. That's sort of our tritone relationship we had before. But there's two more, right? There's two more leading tones. Take this B diminished. And this is called the G sharp leading tone. It's going to A. I'm playing the A in first inversion just because of the voice leading. I can put the E in the bass to get the sound of the dominant. Right. And then the last one being D. The D is the leading tone. What key are we going to? E flat. What would be the nice? I guess maybe here. I could come here. Maybe. I guess the voicing I might want to get is with a B flat in the bottom. Maybe something like this. Minor. So you can see that any of in this traffic circle, any of the diminished can go to any of the four keys that are a minor third apart, right? This B diminished can go, or I should call it B diminished, D diminished, F diminished, A flat diminished, whatever you want to call it, diminished seventh, that is, because it has four notes. Can go to either C major or minor, and it can go to E flat major or minor, it can go to G flat major or G flat minor, it can go to A major or A minor. So, you can make a little exercise out of that actually. Let's say I just take this, just that simple arpeggio. I'm playing B, D, F, A flat. I'll face the camera a little better. And I'm going to resolve it to C major. Now, I'm getting through all eight of those destinations, but I'm going in a kind of a specific order by changing only one note each time. So I'm going from B diminished to C major. Then I'm going from B diminished to the relative minor of C major, which is A minor. All right? So on this one, the leading tone is B. You hear mo, oh. That's the sound of the leading tone going to the root. And this one, the leading tone is G sharp. Now I can use that same leading tone going to the root, but to change the major, the minor into a major. So I'm going to A major now. Now, if I go relative minor of A major, I go to F sharp minor. Now, what is the leading tone? F natural, or E sharp, really. Now, I use the same leading tone, but make it major. I think this time, instead of going, I'm going to resolve it down. To me, that sounds more natural. Right? Now I'm going to F sharp minor or G flat, or F sharp major or G flat major. The relative minor of that is what? E flat minor. Yeah. That's going to be the sound. I can make that major. I'm singing a leading tone into the root, always. Got to E flat major, relative minor of E flat major is C minor. And I can make that into major. I'm back to where I started. Right? Interesting cycle. Let's try it. I'll play it, and you know, you can hear me kind of go through it more quickly. Just one sort of voice leading of it. You could go the other way, maybe. You could starting in a different place. Whatever kind of thing you like to do, but that's an interesting exercise. Okay, just to get the concept of that traffic circle together, where you have this one diminished that can go off in these four directions. Now I think this is all pretty elementary to a lot of folks, but it may be new to some people. So I'll put it in the notes. If you don't want to hear about the theory of diminished moving in different directions, skip to 40 minutes into this video. I've probably been going for a little while already. So now, how does this apply to back to that turnaround idea? Well, the idea is that, let's just say that you were trying to get to C, okay? Now, we know that the diminished that normally gets to C is this B diminished. Well, this represents four dominant chords, right? Not just G7 and D7, which we just did as we were playing the tune, but also the ones that are a minor third away from that, right? Because if we take this diminished, let's say I take the top note of this, I'm playing B, D, F, A flat, sorry. I take the A flat, I change it to a G. Right, I have G7, so I can see that, you know, I could do that on any note, or go back to this, the diminished. I'll change the D to a D flat. Now I have the D flat 7, back to the diminished. Now let's find out what are the other two. I changed the bottom note, the B to a B flat. So I got B flat 7, back to the diminished. I've also got E7. E7 and B flat 7 are two other dominants that can go to C, right? So that opens up a whole other bunch of pathways, is what I'm saying. So if you say, now does that make sense? There's a lot of tunes, I can come up with other monk tunes. This is one where B flat 7 goes to C, right? It's called Monk's Dream. This B flat 7 goes back to C, called the backdoor dominant, right? So that B flat 7, that B flat 7 is one of the dominants that is in the family of the dominants of G7 and D flat 7, right? They're all in minor thirds. G7, B flat 7, D flat 7, and then E7 is the last one. You've heard this kind of line before, like, oh, maybe. It's the sound of a G7 13 flat 9, right? You've seen that nomenclature before. The 13 flat 9 are just saying it's like an E7 going to C, right? If you see a G13 flat 9, it's an E7. If you see a G7 sharp 9 flat 9, that's like a B flat 7 going to C, right? And if you see a G7 sharp 11 flat 9. That's like a D flat 7 going to C, right? So that's just different names for those colors as they relate to the note G. But if you think of them as pathways, then you just call them by their names, which is just the dominant chords. The dominant chords, G7, B-flat 7, D-flat 7, E7. Those four chords are all dominants of C. Now remember what we did. We did dominant, secondary dominant, tertiary dominant. Okay, so the secondary dominant could be any dominant that goes to any of those dominants, right? So you imagine you have four dominants, right? You have four dominants that can go to C. Now these are good to practice on their own, just like that's B flat 7 to C. So B flat 7 going to C is its own kind of sound. And you can sing it. If I play a G7, you can see that it works. It works on a G7, it just gives it some color. Right? So if that's a dominant, let's say that B flat 7 is my new dominant. Well, let's start with a regular dominant. Let's start with G7. Now I got four ways I can get to G7. So what are they? The normal one is D7, but then you also have the ones in minor thirds off of that. You have F7, which is a backdoor dominant to G7. Then you have A-flat 7, which is, you know, a tritone off of, you know, just a half step above G7. And then you have B7, which is a major third above G7. So let's say I take F7 as my secondary dominant. So now my pathway is F7, G7 to C. Now, what can I get to F7 with? Well, F7, I have four more choices. I can get to F7 from C7, which is a normal one, or E-flat 7, or G-flat 7, or A7, right? So let's say I take G-flat 7. So now my new pathway to get my turnaround is C major, G-flat 7, F7, G7. So G-flat 7 is a kind of a tertiary dominant. And you can see that it is because it's in the same family as the regular tertiary dominant, which was A7. G-flat 7 is just a minor third away from that. Everything is in relation to minor thirds and tritones. And tritone is just two minor thirds put together, right? So that would sound like... quite a different sound than we would have normally got to just by reading the chord changes or something like that. So how many total pathways are there? Well, you got four dominants to get to C7, right? You have four dominants to get to each of those dominants, right? So that's 4 times 4, that's 16. And then for the tertiary dominants, for each of those 16, you have four to get to each of those. So you have 64 total, right? 16, 4 times 4 times 4, right? And it keeps getting bigger and bigger as you go. It keeps multiplying by 4 each time. And there's a lot of interesting tricks with this. I think that this may be enough to get started. I think I'll do another level of this, because this study just keeps going and going and going. But I like to mess around with these pathways and just see how many variations I can come up with. I might work on one for a while till I get the hang of it and find out ones that I like, you know, and things like that. I'll play a little bit here. Just, I'm not going to name the pathways, but you can just hear. I'll play them pretty obvious in terms of like arpeggios and stuff. C, and then I went to C7. So I went, la, la, da, 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 da. C, C7, F7, B-flat 7. You know, there's so many different ways you can do it. So, of course, when you get into the form, then there's a couple other things that are going on, and how it gets to the other key and all that stuff. So let's do a quick little thing about that. Now, what's happening here? So what is it when you're going down in whole steps? Good question. You know, if you're going up in whole steps, well, clearly that's a thing that you can do with dominant chords. Those are just one backdoor dominant after another. Like, for example, I could go, I could go, I go on C, G flat 7, A flat 7, B flat 7, C. Right? I could. That's another one of the 64 pathways. Oops. Getting a little high there. Sound, right? Those are dominants, but what if is it if it's going the other way? Well, you know, what do you call like F to C, for example? Your playable cadence, right? Subdominant move. So this is so to get from C to F, we're going subdominant, and then a dominant, because G flat seven going to F is a dominant move. Okay, so that's something to study for next time. I think I'll do a follow up on this because it's getting to be a little bit too long. But you could all this stuff that we're doing forwards, you could also just do it backwards, you know, and you would get those type of moves, you know. But I would encourage you to just mess around with turnarounds and then this tune. So I'm gonna play this tune a little bit. Thank you. All right, that's it for now. I hope you enjoyed the lesson and my take on these turnarounds. I'd enjoy any feedback that you have. I know I moved through some stuff kind of fast, but this was the extended version of improvisation concept on turnarounds, and there's much more to come. So see you next time. All right.
Well, that's it for today's episode. Thanks for hanging out. And if you'd like to see a video version, head on over to patreon.com and search for Work with Miles Okazaki. If you sign up through the browser, it's a very minimal fee because I'm trying to create a large community of guitar players and other musicians. If you like the convenience of the iOS app, it's just a little bit more. But in any case, over there you'll find all of these podcasts in video form, as well as many that are not included here. Guided practice sessions, listening sessions through favorite albums, discussions of repertoire, technical things on the guitar, philosophical things about creativity and making music. So thank you for tuning in, and thank you for your support of creative music.